The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Monday morning, downtown Las Vegas, Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander this morning. Welcome to another show, another week here in, I'll be honest, a little chilly this morning. Felt like April, I would say even maybe February, March weather, making my little trek across downtown Fremont Street from Circa here to the D to do this show. We wish Gil the best this week. Matt Brown will be in for the rest of the week with you. Kelly Bidlin here as well. Good morning, Kelly. How was your weekend, bud?
Good, man. How you doing?
Oh,
good. Thanks for filling in, Jared.
I like to see you. Not only am I fantastic, our bankrolls are doing a little better after a very fun Saturday. We both, and I think we might have been the only people on this fine network that cashed on the Derby Saturday. There was a lot of people that liked the favorite fierceness, but Mystic Dan stuffing our pockets with Mystic Green on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, one of those few times, Jared, where a added bet goes right because it was
the late ones always lose.
Yeah, the late ones always lose, right? But I was sitting there on Saturday and I'm like, okay, all I've bet so far is just a touch. I got to get
a long shot in there.
We were talking before, like I'm not a horse guy, so I'll bet two or three horses to win every year. That's it. And I just looked at like some basic speed numbers and I'm like, this Mystic Dan fella sounds like he could be a good play.
Old Dan. We love Dan. He's more like Lieutenant Dan. Got promoted to general over the weekend after what was a fantastic race. And again, I was live on the air doing Live Bet Saturday literally when the race started. And of course, you know, sweating bets live on TV is an experience.
It's so painful.
And how often do you sweat a Triple Crown race on live TV? And again, I'm not, what is it, Larry Kalmus, the guy that does the play-by-play? He's fantastic, by the way, the guy that does the play-by-play for the race. They're all in line and ready for the start. And so the race starts, and I thought it was the three horse that broke, and he had the lead for pretty much the entire back stretch. And then I think it was Sierra Leone that kind of caught him right at the nose, and it was back and forth. I had no idea who won the race until social media informed me about like 3 minutes later, Mystic Dan, Mystic Dan, and then the celebration ensued.
Yeah, well it was by a nose and by a nose,
man.
Like three horses right in a row. I'm not a big horse racing guy. I'm not a big motorsports guy, but like even that stuff this
exciting
weekend was like NASCAR had like a photo finish, I believe. Like F1, you had somebody not named Max Verstappen win. So like that's a big
upset
deal
in itself, right there. Yeah, so first of all, shout out Zach Lucas from Twin Spires. He's the one that gave me the inspiration to bet Mystic Dan. It was an 18-1 cash. Awesome stuff. But the other interesting thing, we were talking about it during our pre-show here, that not only the trainer who won the Derby, but the same trainer also won the Kentucky Oaks the prior day. And that is a pretty historic thing. So a historic weekend at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, first time since 1952.
Wow.
Mystic Dan's trainer, Ken McPeak, win the Kentucky Oaks and the Derby same year.
An impressive, I would say that is the peak of the horse racing industry right there. So congratulations to Mystic Dan. He's having a heck of a week.
Kentucky Derby, Cinco de Mayo, he's just rolling it all over.
No, Cinco de Mayo started out, and again, I'm complaining here in Vegas for, you know, the people that are in like Chicago right now. They're probably like, what are you complaining about the weather? The weather in Vegas the last couple days has been like winter
weather. Yeah, it's been wild. Well, the wind.
50-degree winds yesterday. I mean, it was 40 degrees when I walked across Fremont Street this morning. But again, I'm sure there's people out there in our fine country that are probably much worse off than us. Not as many worse off than our own VGK Golden Knights, who unfortunately saw their run end yesterday. Congratulations to a couple of Game 7 winners across the sporting landscape yesterday. The Dallas Stars move on to the second round of the playoffs. A tight game. It was 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, and in the third period, it was Dallas getting across the finish line there. So the Stars, Game 7 at home advance. They'll face the Avs in the next round of the playoffs. There is your Elite Eight in the Stanley Cup. I'll be honest, I've got an exacta. So our guy Johnny Lazarus, who covers hockey here for the network, before the playoffs started, gave me a Rangers over Oilers 43-1 exacta, which, again, we're a long way from completion here, but you got to win the first round before you can get to the next round. So we are alive there. That'd be a fun – I'll be honest. I like karma full circle type things. And I'm thinking to myself, if the Rangers are going to win the cup this year, the last time they won the cup, it was against the Canadian team, the Vancouver Canucks. Why not against McDavid and Draisaitl and what has been an unbelievable run? So we'll have a good look at the second round of the playoffs. Jay Conn coming up a little bit later this hour, co-host of The Point. We're going to talk about all things NHL postseason. The other game seven yesterday. So I'll be honest, I didn't love – how do you feel about this? The 10 a.m. local start time for Game 7, Cavs Magic. How'd you feel about that?
It's – man, I think the NBA just get – once you get in the playoffs, they just lock these schedules in. Like, I really thought that was going to be slid once we knew there wasn't going to be another game, but – I don't think they do that anyway. Like, for everybody who thinks they can, I think once the NBA hits the playoffs, the schedules get very regimented of when they're going to play games. And then also, like, I mean, would they have, Jared, if it was a Lakers-Celtics, like, Game 7?
I think they might have.
Yeah, probably. I do think the two teams did have something to do with it.
Yeah, they didn't want to go up against the roast of Tom Brady last night, which, by the way, was absolutely fantastic. I think it was the best sports entertainment crossover since maybe The Last Dance.
Okay, so I'm gonna be the old man for a second.
You didn't like it?
No. I didn't say that. Okay. But doing the show yesterday, rushing home. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to watch it. Right.
I watched part of it and all the clips.
Okay, so I saw one clip. I did see one.
Some of the clips are fantastic. Yeah, I watched half, and then I had to go to bed. We had to be up early for the show. But right. I have the next half. I want to get the Tom speech, which I heard was whew.
Oh, there was one line I heard from him. I couldn't believe he dropped it. But it was one of those. Someone told me about it yesterday morning. They're like, "Hey, you know, watch the Tom Brady roast." And I'm like, "Roast? Like, what is Comedy Central still doing roast? Like, I didn't even know that." So I knew about it. I was like, "I don't care about a Tom Brady roast." And then I'm sitting at home trying to get some work done, and Twitter's blowing up of this stuff. So yeah, I guess I'm gonna have to watch it later. Now I got a little bit of the FOMO going on. Yeah.
So the best part about. So I watched the first, I want to say, hour of it. I was watching Vegas. I wasn't going to turn off a live Game 7 VGK to watch a roast. Like, the roast will be there for me. But then during one of the period breaks of the VGK, I started scrolling through Twitter, and I saw some of the clips. I was like, oh, man, this is I need to watch this. So after the VGK game ended, I got through about the first hour. And then I got to the Ron Burgundy part, and sorry for the spoiler there. Ron Burgundy does make an appearance, and that's when I was kind of like dozing off. I knew we had to be up early, so I was like, "All right, I'll table the rest." I kind of feel like I got enough of it to whet my appetite.
Oh,
Kelly, it was incredible. Nikki Glaser, who is like a real comedian, like I'll be honest, like Randy Moss was kind of like, "Eh," like you could tell the jokes were written for him, and he was just reading them. True Bledsoe was actually really funny.
Really?
But right. Nikki Glaser, who is an incredible comedian, she's got like a million followers on Instagram. She was unbelievable. And there was a couple jokes, so Jeff Ross, who's like the classic roast master, he did a couple ones.
There's a name I actually recognize.
Where Tom had to like stop him on one, and I'm like, all right, that's not the spirit of a roast. There's nothing off limits in a roast. That's the whole point of a roast. But then he I'll save the spoilers. Go watch it. I promise you, if you're a sports fan, we need more of these. I think LeBron should be next. I think LeBron should be next. I don't know if there's another guy that really has that gravitas like Tom does, though.
I mean, the big question is which of these athletes are thick-skinned enough to take the type of
LeBron,
those jokes?
I don't know if LeBron is.
I don't know that he is. I saw a lot of tweets about Tom Brady looking pretty upset, so I don't know if he for sure had enough thick skin. All I know is he was...
He got paid a lot for it, though. Money cures everything when you're getting made. I think he got eight figures for this.
Are you serious?
I think he got at least seven. I think he got at least million plus. I think they're close to 10 million from what I heard.
The one clip I saw, and I got to watch this whole thing. Tom Brady made a joke about Bill Belichick in the Ring Central camera. Like, that was, I was like, I can't believe
and
you just
the video
went there.
The, I saw, I forgot about, again, I don't want to give away too much, although I feel like I've blabbed so much about this already. I'll close with this. If we don't get more of these because of this, I'll be shocked. I thought last night, if you're too PC, don't watch it. Let's just leave it at that. Because there was some stuff in there that I did not think they were going to go down this road. And they went down the road. And they plowed down the road. Like, it wasn't like they just dipped their toe in the water. Like, they jumped in headfirst, cannonball dive. Speaking of that, we've got a couple of NBA series to talk about as well. Two NBA games tonight on the docket. And I'll be honest, the basketball pickings right now are really good, Kelly. The first round of the playoffs, I think I would have liked to see a couple more series get extended. Mm-hmm. But there were a couple series that the intensity level, like that Knicks Sixers series felt like a finals type
awesome.
Of series.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens when they get going tonight. Knicks Pacers game one, T-Wolves Nuggets. You had the early upset with Minnesota. We'll see how Denver bounces back tonight as well. We will talk about our plays, our vibes. I've got a couple prop angles that I like. I don't bet a lot of sides in the postseason. Really hard to get value. Live betting matters, but pre-flop, the prop market to me, adjustments with time on the floor and matchups to me, that's where I find the edge.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I think for me, it's, I mean, everybody's listens to the shows knows during the NBA regular season, it's a lot of sides for me, not nearly as many totals, which I know that's kind of flipped from a lot of normal NBA bettors. This is the time of year, though, where I do think, for me, I recognize a little bit more value in some of the totals, some of the player props than I might attack throughout the course of the regular season. I know there are a lot. I got a lot of tweets about this yesterday. We do have a schedule for the NBA.
Yeah, you've been sitting on money. You've been sitting on futures bets probably for months. You might get paid tonight. That is honestly the NFL night when you hit that, and it's a great night when you finally pay that. When you finally get that payout, because you know who's going to win for the most part at this stage, right?
Right, right. So yeah, we got Rookie of the Year tonight, Defensive Player of the Year tomorrow, and then MVP coming to us on Wednesday.
Yeah, so if you're sitting on those tickets.
Let's go Wemby.
Yeah, Wemby. That's the Defensive Player of the Year. Wemby not in the postseason. We will get to some of the postseason games coming up on the other side of this break. A numbers game continues here on VSiN.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you ready to become your own sports betting expert? Look no further than a VSiN Pro subscription, your ticket to insider insights, exclusive data winning strategies, limited time offering our annual subscription, unbeatable price. Look at that. Normally $240, you can grab it now for $200. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free, 14 months of VSiN Pro access, less than 50 cents a day when you use the promo code ANG. With VSiN Pro, instant access, daily best bets. See that leaderboard has got the best win percentage and ROI. Tons of live programming, proven betting systems from pro cappers, and our exclusive betting splits. Everybody loves the betting splits. VSiN.com/subscribe. Claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG. This is ANG, also known as a numbers game. I'm Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander. Today, happy Monday, everybody. We're live from the D. Kelly Bidlin with us as well. Love Jay Kahn coming up in about 30 minutes. Talk a little puck, see how my Rangers are going to fare after a really nice win for them yesterday against the Carolina Hurricanes. They get off to a 1-0 start. We got some games tonight on the ice, and we will, of course, bid farewell. New team. It is exciting when a new team is going to hoist the Stanley Cup. I don't know if it's going to be a fresh new team, but a team that didn't win it last year after VGK got eliminated in seven last night by the Dallas Stars. So the Stars advance. They'll face, looks like, Tuesday night, Stars, Avs, Rangers, Hurricanes, and tonight we'll get game one of the Bruins and the Panthers. Jay Kahn coming up in about 30. But let's continue the NBA discussion, Kelly, because I'll be honest, we've got games tonight in the NBA, and I don't know if you, the sides have any interest to you at all, but the Nuggets are about a five and a half point favorite at home. It's always interesting to see the adjustment. We talked about this on Saturday with Will Hill. After that game one loss, the game two home team, right? Game one at home, you lose. That home team in game two tends to get maybe an artificial boost in the market, but they have been very successful in game two. But the question is, you want to lay more points with the Nuggets in game two after they lost game one outright? We're only laying 4.5. It's a tough, you know, wrap your head around it type of handicap, but over the last, you know, decade or so in the NBA, it's been very profitable.
Yeah, this is, I'm actually involved in both games tonight. I laid it with the Nuggets as soon as
I don't blame you, but it's a hard bet to make, but you got, it's a bet you got to make, I think.
For me, it's that, Jared. It's a must make for me. It's just for tracking these teams all season long. I mean, the past couple years, it's just, it's a little bit of the nod of the respect to the Nuggets and what they've done. And look, are there major questions and concerns on their side? Sure. You know, KCP, Jamal Murray, what's the health status really of both of those guys? I think they're still working their way back. I think what I'm looking at heavily from what we saw game one, Jared, no surprises like that. This is Timberwolves was still kind of the lean for me for the series. Sure. I just thought the price was going to be a little bit better, so I didn't get involved before the series started. But you saw a lot, extremely high-level play from Minnesota, and it's one of those, are they going to need to do that four times to win this series? Yeah. Can they? Yeah. Are they going to do it to that level every single night, though, on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball, where they were great? They were both great. I'm not buying that. I do think in a game two where we are far enough along in the playoffs, this is a must-win situation already.
Oh, yeah,
must-win.
Every game, let's be honest, every game's a must-win when you're at home in the playoffs at this stage. I think the prop market, the props that intrigued me tonight, so I'm always interested in adjustments. I'm always interested in seeing, is there a guy that is getting significantly more playing time in this game than in prior games of the regular season, but also the postseason, the first round. I think Jaden McDaniels is that guy for me. Now he's a starter on Minnesota. He's already, you know, asked to do a lot, but I've noticed his minutes workload up precipitously in the postseason, and he's coming off of an offer, a bagel. I was on his, I think it was either 14 or 15. It was somewhere in the low teens, his PRA prop in game one, and I felt great. 8 rebounds, 1 assist. You feel like you're going to hit a low teens PRA. He went 0-for-7 from the floor. So I think that's a guy. I think the volume's there. We don't expect him to go 0-for-7 again from the floor in this game. I think Gobert, too, 13 rebounds. It looks like the games I've watched between him and Denver this year, he's always an anchor in the paint. But because of the way Jokic likes to kind of draw you out, it looks like he's almost more anchored into the paint. He's almost trying to entice Nikola in.
Yeah, they're playing Cat or someone else on Jokic. Exactly.
So
let him roam a bit.
I think Gobert rebounds. I know it's super square, you know, in terms of the handicap. Oh, he's the center, get rebounds. But the way that they're playing, it seems like he's a vacuum in there. Yeah. And if Jokic is out and it's just Gobert in the paint, like, they don't have another big Denver to really get in there and get those boards. So I think Gobert rebounds. You want to do a PRA, that's fine too. You want to pair those together.
I think it's a good simple cap, actually, because we saw it. I don't know why Minnesota would go away from how they're handling things defensively with Jokic. And that's just, that's going to let him, let him be down low with not a very big guy, you know, trying to contest those rebounds with him. I like that one. I like it.
I think, to me, the vibe in the series for the Denver side, I saw this pre-flop coming in. I saw the market adjust accordingly, and it made sense handicap-wise. Denver, if Jamal Murray is going to be kind of the distributor, and he wasn't in game one, but in prior games against Denver, he had 6, 11, 6 assists. And I thought to myself, okay, if Jokic is going to have all this room in the paint, you know, or excuse me, outside of the paint, turn into this like mid-range scorer, Jokic over points makes sense, but Murray over assists and guys like Aaron Gordon over assists makes sense. The other role players for Denver who handle the ball, as much as Jokic is kind of the distributor, it seems like the games against Minnesota, they wanted to make him a scorer and let the other guys be kind of the distributors. Gordon went over, he had 6 assists in game one. His number was 3.5, close 4.5. If you had the alt prop, I bet over 4.5, I bet 6. I even got to 8, didn't quite get there, but we got to 6. I think Gordon over assists makes a lot of sense, and I bet Murray pre-flop to lead the series in assists. He's got a long way to go, of course, after Jokic had a really good assist game in game one. We'll see if that switches in game two. I think Jamal Murray, as much as I want him to be the primary scorer for Denver, I think they're best in that role. I do think Minnesota's strategy is to get him off of that situation. So I'm going to probably go back to the well with the same props I had in game one. Aaron Gordon over assists, Jokic over points. I'll go Murray over assists, and then on the Minnesota side, Gobert over rebounds, and then Jaden McDaniels. I think I'll get cute with McDaniels and do a PRA, because I'll be honest, after the 0-for-7, he had 8 rebounds. So hopefully the rebounds gets us home there, have another good rebounding game. But I'll be honest, this Minnesota lineup, they don't look like they're afraid to go into game two and steal another one.
Yeah, no, they're not. I mean, they played great game one. McDaniels, I like that. I like that angle. It's not necessary. I would play the PRA with him. He's not. He's not.
You
there
don't know
for
which
shots.
One's going to be the big one. Yeah, and he could have a better score. Game offensively, though.
Yeah, he's not there to score. He's there to play defense. Yep. But what is he in the playoffs? He's going to get a ton of minutes. So yeah,
he's play 40 minutes.
Right, exactly.
Like if you're telling me that I only have to get to, I want to say his number's like 14 or 15 tonight for PRA. And I'm assuming it went down after an 0-for-7 game. If you're telling me that a guy's on the floor for 40 minutes. And he's basically, you know, rebounding the ball a ton. And I think I love the PRA props. I think they're my favorite props to bet on those, like, wing players who you don't necessarily know if it's going to be a good scoring game. But you know they're always going to kind of be around the ball and they're going to be on the floor a ton in this series. All right, let's quickly get to – actually, before we get to Knicks Pacers, the series price – for Denver. We were talking about this on Saturday night. Will and I were trying to guess what the series price was going to be when it got reposted. I thought basically -110 on both sides. I thought maybe Denver would get the benefit of the doubt and still be the slight favorite. At one of the shops, it opened like Denver, like +120. Like Minnesota was like -140. At DraftKings, it seemed like it was much tighter. I want to say it was -120 on the T-Wolves side. So they were getting the benefit of the doubt. Has that moved at all in the last 48 hours?
No, we're still -120 and okay. Then even money on that one.
That makes sense to me. Do you think there's value on the Nuggets at even odds?
No, because I still like the Timberwolves. Yeah. I'm glad you brought this up, though. Because if there is... If there's a shop hanging this and you can shop around, I saw DraftKings was yesterday. I don't see it up right now, but I looked around everywhere here in town and didn't see this. You're seeing these a lot of these for game one and then the series where it's like a parlay of pick game one winner and series winner.
Yeah.
I like Nugget. If you find one tonight, DraftKings had this up yesterday of who wins game two and then
and
series
then
winner.
The series.
I would go Nuggets game two and Timberwolves for the series. I like the Nuggets tonight, but I still like the Timberwolves in the series. So if you weren't someone who got involved with the Timberwolves before the series, like myself, price just put me off of it. I actually think that's a way you can get back involved. So I'm hoping MGM or Caesar, someone posts something like that today. I'm going to play that as well. Otherwise, I laid 5 with Nuggets. I did play them in the first half as well. One of the better first half teams.
That's an interesting angle. I'm assuming they jacked the first quarter, first half prices up pretty high on you.
Yeah, I had to lay 3.5 on the first half. So
it's worth it.
It's a little.
What's the first quarter money line for Denver? Like -140? Like I'm always interested to see the splits. Like, for example, Denver's a 5.5-point favorite in the game. So if you do the simple math, they should be a 3.5-point favorite in the first half. I bet the first quarter's like 3 because they expect Denver to come out guns ablaze. I would say 2.5.
Nuggets 2.
Yeah, that's not the worst. I would lay 30 or 40 cents on the money line because you can always push on the money line. In the first quarter, I would lay 30 or 40 cents in the money line for the first quarter for Denver. I mean, if you don't get the best first quarter for Denver tonight, just bet Minnesota to win the series. All right, we will get into my Knicks. Our Knicks, right? You're a Knicks fan, too?
I'm not a Knicks fan,
I'm lump
invested
you into that.
In the series, buddy, so I'm sweating.
He's
with
a
you.
Knicks fan this week, right. Baby. We'll get a little garden action, garden party on the other side, a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, latest buzz. It's the free VSiN daily newsletter. Look at Bill 80 on that screen with the graphic, the bald head, and the glass. Beautiful. He's got it all. In today's newsletter, I saw Steve Mackinnon got some betting trends for the NBA series prices that are hopping on board with you. So be sure to check that out. Expert analysis, latest odds delivered straight to your inbox. Absolutely free. VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander on a numbers game here Monday morning live from the D. Kelly Bidlin with us as well. Jay Kahn coming up in 15 minutes talking puck. But let's get back to the NBA discussion because my Knicks, not quite Kelly's Knicks, although he's going to be on board with the Knickerbockers as they try to navigate the Indiana Pacers. A little old school matchup here. Everything that is old is new again. The last time, I want to say Knicks-Pacers, it was 2014 when the last time the Knicks kind of made a little bit of a run in the playoffs. They lost to the Pacers in that round. That was a Carmelo-led team. It was a good season for the Knicks. Roy Hibbert was the guy that just went absolutely bananas in that series for the Pacers. I believe Paul George was still a member of the team then as well. So a little bit of a recycled matchup here. Of course, the original Knicks-Pacers dog fights in the 90s with Reggie Miller and all the fun stuff there. We are a long ways away from that. But this current Pacers team, very offensive-minded team. They're a fun watch. The Knicks, I don't know if fun watch is the way I would use to describe them. They're like a grindhouse.
Yeah.
But this team is built for the postseason. They are built for tough, long, excruciating seven-game series. I don't know if we're going to get one here, but I do think this matchup favors the Knicks. Obviously, you're laying a big penny in game one. I'm a little bit weary of a game one lightning strike for Indiana. But I'll be honest, as this series continues to stretch out, Kelly, I think the matchups favor the Knicks, especially on the perimeter, something that Milwaukee could not do. First of all, they had a lot of injuries they were dealing with. Second of all, they could not defend the perimeter. Tyrese Halliburton did whatever he wanted. He was a distributor. He was a scorer. He couldn't make a shot for most of the series. Yeah. Still had an unbelievable output offensively in that series against the Bucks. But I'll be honest, Indiana still struggled in a lot of those games, even without Dame Lillard on the floor, even without Giannis Antetokounmpo on the floor. I think defensively, the Knicks defending the perimeter, you've got OG Anunoby, you've got Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson does his thing, Miles McBride is an underrated defender. I think Tyrese Halliburton is going to be in for a long series. Will he have his moments? Absolutely. But I would not be running to the window to bet a lot of overs on him, especially in game one. My guess is there's no doubles. There's a lot of guard perimeter switching at the top. The Knicks are very versatile with their defensive rotation. And I think it's going to have to be the other guys for Indiana that have to step up. Siakam maybe. But I don't know if there's a guy that can really give the Knicks problems, with the exception of Miles Turner. That's the guy who scares me in this series, because I think he could stretch the floor, bring Robinson and Hartenstein out of the paint and shoot the three, but the guards for Indiana might be in for a tough series.
Yeah, it's. I think that was a great breakdown right there. I think at the end of the day, just to like really simplify this, it probably comes down to which of those guards has the better series, and I'm just not getting in front of Brunson right now when you look at that, right? But the matchups are fascinating here, because I think it's going to be interesting to see how OG Anunoby is deployed by the Knicks. Obviously, he is the stud defender in this series, period, for both teams. But do you try to take away more? I mean, do you have to play him on Halliburton? Are you okay playing some of the other guards on Halliburton and keeping him on Siakam? Because I am a little worried if OG gets involved out there with Halliburton too much, then Siakam, I think, he could have a big series, because you brought up a big point of Miles Turner stretching.
That's
out
the guy who scares
bringing
me.
Out some of the bigs out of the paint, and some of the great rim defense that the Knicks have. If those guys get pulled away and Siakam can work in the paint, that's a little concerning. Look, game one tonight, I'm not touching. I'm scared.
I'm not betting the game one.
They just went through a war with the 76ers.
Scares me tonight.
Guys playing massive minutes, and we all know, if you've watched the Pacers at all this year, you know one thing. This team is looking to get out and transition as much as humanly possible and go as fast as they can. Tonight, I'm a little concerned. Okay, if the Pacers are able to play a little bit better defense, right, Jared, create some turnovers, get out on the break, can these Knicks starters who have played that many minutes not be completely gassed by the fourth quarter, right? It's a little bit what concerns me for tonight. So I'm staying away from game one. I did get involved in the series, though, Knicks side of things. I think when we break it down, just really simplify what matters in NBA playoffs, right? Half court defense, Knicks far better, far more superior than what the Pacers have. Half-court offense, the Knicks are better than what the Pacers have on the half-court sets and what they can run. And then rebounding. You are talking a massive rebounding mismatch in this series, and Knicks should dominate that. The only reason I keep going back to the Miles Turner thing is that is such an X factor, right? Can you bring some of those bigs away? And maybe that helps mitigate what they're able to do on the boards on the New York side of things. All of those, though, Jared, are slight concerns for me. I think the Knicks are a better team. They operate better in things that matter, places that matter in this series. I love them in the series. I laid 215 on the opener.
Love it.
Bet them pretty heavily there. So I'm a little concerned about game one. I'll probably be dipping back in if the Knicks drop it.
Yeah.
And I think if you're a Pacers fan, Pacers backer, you got to steal one of these first two games in New York. It is massive to do that and get bring at least a 1-1 series back to Indiana. If Knicks are up 2-0 going to Indiana, I'm feeling real good, Jared. I'm feeling real good.
Yeah, I think the games at the Garden are going to be unlike anything Indiana's dealt with all year.
Yeah.
The Philly series, all right, I'll be real with you. I'm a Knicks fan, been a Knicks fan my whole life, born in New York City. One of my first games was a Knicks game.
Lived in South Florida.
Yeah. And then my family did something very cruel to me in 1992. They said, let's move to Miami. And then I grew up in the 90s as a Knicks fan in Miami. I mean, you can see how that went. But a lot of good memories, of course, with those late 90s teams. This series, the Sixers series, felt like that. It felt like 13-year-old Jared in 1999 watching Allen Houston hit the game winner in game five to send the Knicks as an 8 seed over the Heat, the 1 seed, in a massive upset. And I'm not saying that's the same thing that happened in the Sixers series. Obviously, the Knicks were favored. They should have won that series. They did win that series. But my point being, the way I felt watching those games, to me, felt like old-school NBA postseason Knicks being good. Good for the league. And let's be honest, I know a lot of people hate New York. I'm looking at you, JVT. But you have to admit, when that Garden is rocking in the playoffs, there aren't a lot of places that are at that level of intensity. And it makes the game better. So we'll see what the vibe is tonight. I think this is the one game where I can see Indiana winning in New York. I think this is the only game they will win perhaps in New York. I don't think they will. If they win tonight, they're definitely not winning game two. And if they don't win tonight, I don't know if they are capable of winning a game on the road in this series. And they're going to have to, because they're going to have to win at least one. I think the Knicks are going to take at least one in Indiana, because they're going to have one of those lockdown defensive games, and Indiana's going to struggle to score in one of them. So this is going to be a clash of styles kind of series. It's going to be a series that I think Jalen Brunson... Let's be honest. When they signed him, I was like, the Knicks, great. I love Jalen. The Knicks still need a star. I was wrong.
I'm with you. I was the same way. Same way.
I was like, great. He's a good number two. They still need Giannis. They still need a LeBron. Like, no, I think they've got their Giannis, their LeBron right now.
I was even, I mean, I don't know, maybe you were the same guy. Like, I was the guy who thought Dallas was undervaluing him, but still was like, yeah, but I'm not going to go out and say this guy's a superstar or anything. And he is... is there any team, I'm just as I'm perusing the series price now, any team that is more reliant on one guy right now? I don't think that there is.
No, there definitely is not. I think you can put the Nuggets in the category of Jokic, but they also have Jamal Murray, who, let's be honest, I think he has been the best player in the postseason so far, especially the most clutch player so far. Not named Jalen Brunson, who's also been incredibly clutch. Listen, guys. This isn't the sharpest handicap I'll ever give you, but this dude eats. He's gone 39, 47, 40, 41 the last four playoff games. Here are the games against Indiana this year. He's been incredible against the Pacers this season. I think that is versus Indiana this year, the last two games, 40 and 39. Like, 34.5 points, I think, is the total tonight for him to score. I think that's the only over I would bet points-wise for the Knicks tonight. Just let Brunson do his thing. Rebound-wise, Hart's been the guy. Ananobi's had some good looks. But I want to know who guards Haliburton.
Yeah.
If it's Hart, I'm not interested in his rebounding prop.
Right.
Just like I wasn't interested in Hart's rebounding prop the games they switched him on to Maxey. That was an OG rebounding prop. That was Mitchell Robinson and Hartenstein getting all the rebounds. Because that... you know, lockdown defensive matchup kind of pulls you away from the rebounding action. So I'm not interested in any other, you know, secondary props for the Knicks tonight. I think they win the game. Game one series price is -140. Knicks to win game one to win the series. That's fine. But Jalen Brunson, you're cooking tonight, bud. Over whatever your point total is, bet the alts. He's getting a 40 tonight. All right, we come back. Jay Con, NHL, a lot of fun stuff to get to on the ice. The numbers game rolls on next.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Play-in tournament through the finals. DK's got you covered. Same game parlays, live betting, odds boost, so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code VSiN. New customers bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSiN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Numbers Game, Monday morning, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander today. It'll be Matt Brown with you the rest of the week. We wish Gil the best on his week off. Kelly Bidlin with us as well. And joining us now is a friend of the program. Excited to talk to this gentleman, co-host of The Point, the fantasy hockey show over on SiriusXM. He is Jake Hahn. Follow him on social media at JHahn4. Jake, good morning, sir. We are mourning the loss of our Vegas Golden Knights after a very impressive Game 7 performance by the Dallas Stars at home yesterday. So we will have a new Cup champion this year. Your overall thoughts on what you saw Game 7 yesterday between Dallas and VGK?
Yeah, I'm coming to you guys from Toronto, where we're also mourning a Game 7 loss from a couple nights ago. But the difference is this city is very used to mourning Game 7 losses. It's just another year here in Toronto, another early May day. So nothing's really changed. Maybe a little bit different for Vegas. Although Vegas Golden Knights fans have had their fair share of heartbreak, obviously before the Cup win last year, there was some heartbreaking playoff exits as well. So they have stacked up a few of these. And look, it was a great series. It was a coin flip series. It really was. Every game, all seven games, I think could have gone either way. So it deserved to go seven. Ultimately, Dallas gets that extra goal in the third period. And that's what some of these games come down to. Even Toronto-Boston Saturday night, you're watching that game thinking, well, this is just razor thin. It's going to come down to some sort of lucky bounce, maybe a bad call here and there. And that's ultimately what happens. It comes down to Boston making a nice play in overtime and winning the game. So I thought Vegas could have easily won that series. Ultimately, Dallas just gets that extra goal in the third period. And it's as simple as that. I think you could argue those were two of the best teams in the Western Conference. They just happened to play each other in the first round this year.
Absolutely. Radek Faxa. I'm probably mispronouncing that name. He's from Czech. That goal yesterday, Jake, it kind of was like it took a funky bounce and then it kind of went off the corner. It almost hit like both posts at the same time, like where like the corner of the post kind of meets. But that's how thin the margins are in the postseason. You've got to be absolutely perfect. But how about this Fox, a guy had 7 goals all year. He scores the game-winning goal in Game 7 of the third period to send Dallas the next round. Just incredible stuff. His reaction was fantastic. All right, let's get back to what we're going to see tonight. You were talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs just losing to the Boston Bruins in Game 7. They are back in action tonight on the road. Game 1 down there in Sunrise, Florida. Kelly and I know that part of town real well. Against the Florida Panthers. Florida laying about 50-ish, 55, maybe 60 cents at certain shops there. I actually seen a pretty a thicker number there. DraftKings Florida minus 170. Any early analysis for you game one of the second round series between Boston and Florida?
Yeah, well, this is a quick turnaround, obviously, for the Boston Bruins to go from a Game 7, and they got dragged through the mud those last few games by the Maple Leafs. They could have won the series in 5 games. The Leafs force it to 7. All 3 of those last games were just physical affairs where low scoring, really tight hockey games. So I just have to think that's a difficult ask of Boston to have to turn around that quickly, go out on the road and play a rested team like the Florida Panthers. And I just think this Panthers team is flat out better than the Boston Bruins and the Maple Leafs if the Leafs were able to win that series. I almost felt like that game between Toronto and Boston was a tier 2 championship, that we had our 3 top teams in the East already through, the Rangers and the Canes, who are, have already finished a game in round 2 on the Metro side, and the Panthers. And Toronto and Boston were basically fighting for tier 2 champions. So in my opinion, I just think Florida's clearly a better team and is going to win this series. The only thing I think that gives Boston a shot is Jeremy Swayman, who's playing as good as any goaltender in the National Hockey League right now. If he starts to frustrate the Panthers, I think that gives Boston maybe a chance to get Pasternak going and win a couple games in this series. But as for game one tonight, guys, I think Florida rolls them unless it's a stand on your head type performance from Jeremy Swayman.
How about game one series double? I love these game one series doubles. I do them in the NBA all the time. Panthers plus money, plus 110 over DraftKings to win game one and then win the series. Is that an interesting angle for you? Is that something you dabble with at all in the postseason on the hockey side?
Yeah, I actually love that play. That's a great angle because if you're trying to get into back the Panthers and you're thinking, okay, I don't want to lay a bunch of juice here, that's a good way to do it. And then if they do lose the game one, you've obviously lost your bet, but then you might be able to double back.
Yeah, on the Panthers to win the series.
Right. right? So I don't mind that at all. I don't even mind laying the -1.5 on the series price if you can find those types of props where, you know, you're laying a game and a half, but you're basically saying, okay, it's not going to go seven. Like, I like this team to win. They could sweep. They could win in five. They could win in six. And you're still covered in a lot of those scenarios. So I like the Panthers. And judging on this game one line, guys, it looks like they'll probably be a favorite in Boston as well in those road games. So if you do get to that sort of situation where maybe, okay, I need this win to win my series prop bet, you could hedge on the other side of Boston and probably get a decent number. So I really like the Panthers in this series, guys. I just think they're in a different class than this Boston Bruins team.
Hey, Jake, I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday. I thought this was interesting. They were talking about just the home ice being a little overvalued in the betting market right now through the playoffs so far. Have you found that to be the case? I know you're just talking about the Panthers possibly still being favorites going on the road.
Yeah, we have seen a lot of road teams have success, Kelly, throughout the course of the postseason. So I don't know if you completely throw it out. To me, it's a case-by-case scenario. Like, I looked at the Colorado-Winnipeg series from round one, and that was a series where I thought home ice advantage matters so much here. And Winnipeg ended up dropping a game at home and giving Colorado the home advantage, which I think is so strong for them. And that's the series now in round two that I'm kind of looking at and thinking, okay, home ice really does matter here because Colorado is so good at Ball Arena. Dallas is really good at home as well. So I think it's case by case. There's certain series that I look at and say, well, yeah, the road teams could probably have success here. And I think there's maybe less of a home ice advantage, but there's certain scenarios where I think, yeah, the home team here really matters. And Colorado, Dallas probably jumps out to me as that. Rangers and Canes also jumps out to me as what could be a homer series, right? The Rangers at MSG, we already saw them win a home game yesterday afternoon, and the Canes are a terrific home team as well. So I think that's a series where you're going to see the home teams have a lot of success.
Yeah, nice performance for the Rangers yesterday. They were, and that it's always interesting to me because we saw this in the NBA in the first round with the Suns and the T-Wolves, right? The T-Wolves had home court, but the Suns were favored in the series. Same thing with the Canes and the Rangers yesterday. Canes favored in the series. The Rangers had game one at home, looked fantastic in the first period. Jake, let's move over to that series because I don't want to say the Rangers took control, but they were the underdog in the series winning game one. Do you feel like the series price now, which is sitting -140 at DraftKings for New York, +120 for Carolina, do you feel confident that the Rangers kind of took control of that series, or is Carolina, in your opinion, still the team on the front foot, maybe getting some value there, +120 for them to win the series?
Well, yeah, if you like Carolina, this is the time to bet them. I think this is truly a coin flip series. We've been waiting for this series for like 2 months, guys, because we knew these were the two top teams in the Metro. So it's like, I'm just glad it's finally getting underway here. To me, I think it should have been closer to a pick 'em to open. I felt it was a little bit of disrespect to the Rangers to have home ice advantage and open at about +120. You could catch some +125s out there as well for the Rangers. Look, the underlying numbers, the analytics community loves the Carolina Hurricanes. Yeah. I love the Canes too. We can all agree that they're a great team. And I think those same underlying numbers don't necessarily love the Rangers as much as the standings show and how many wins they have show. But I believe in this Rangers team. I think they check every single box for me. A Norris caliber defenseman, a Vezina caliber goaltender, a top six that's just absolutely loaded. We're seeing Mika Zibanejad unlocked in these playoffs as well. And he's really stepping up, scores a couple big goals in the first period yesterday. So I wouldn't say that the Rangers took control of this. I think they basically just held serve in a home game, and you're going to have to take care of your home games in this series. But I like the Rangers going into it. I think it's probably going to be a 6-7 game series. So it's going to go long, but I do like the Rangers. And I think at -140 on the series price up a game, I think that's actually a pretty good number on the Rangers. So that's just for me as someone who liked the Rangers. If you went into this saying, you know, I like Carolina, I prefer them, then yeah, this is probably a good time to jump on them and hope they steal a home ice or a home ice advantage in game number two.
Rangers in seven +425 right now over at DraftKings. If we think again, they will have, I always like to bet the series exactas, Jake, in both NBA and NHL. And I like to try to correlate it to, all right, I want to bet on the team that's going to win the series, and I want to make sure that the game I am picking is the game they're going to be favored in, right? That's why I always struggle with Rangers in six. Well, they're going to be a dog on the road in Carolina in game six. Like, I'd rather bet the game seven +425, and if I have to come back, if I want to come back on the other side, Carolina likely will be a dog in that game. Let's talk about another series where we've got a big dog right out of the gates, and it's this Edmonton-Vancouver series. Edmonton, I'm looking at a series price right now, Edmonton -260. About 30 seconds left here, Jake. Is that too heavy of a price to lay on the Oilers?
Yeah, speaking of a team being a dog with home ice advantage, that's the Vancouver Canucks. They've dealt with a lot of issues. They're down to their third string goaltender right now. So they really had to battle work to get through Nashville, which was clearly the most boring series of the first round. Not a lot happened there. The Edmonton's going to make them play a different style. Edmonton plays at a much higher pace. So I'm curious what Vancouver looks like in this series compared to a much different style against Nashville. I think the Oilers roll them, but I don't really love the series price. I don't think there's a ton of value in this one.
Jay Kahn, co-host of the Point Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM. We appreciate the time, pal. Good luck.
Awesome. Great talking to you guys.
Hour number two of a numbers game coming up next here on VSiN.